begin. We are at Mitzvah Shem, the very end of the Sugya of Bitlo Velo Bitlo. We are holding on Tezayin Amid Beis, two lines from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara says, Vahika Peya. What we saw in Amud Aleph, Rav Yochanan pointed out that with regard to the Mishnah that states that Shiloh HaKein is a Mitzvah Losase Hanita Glase, according to the Chachamim, that is, that if a person violates the Aveira v'l'sikachayim alabonim, the din is mishalech ve'en aloke, but there is a possibility that one could get malchus, and that's true amanda amar kimo v'lo kimo, it's true amanda amar bitlo v'lo bitlo. However, if we were to go to find other examples that would be possible to have malchus, especially to accommodate the shita bitlo v'lo bitlo, that holds that you need to be mevato the asevi adayim in order to get malchus, so we're only going to be able to find one other example, says Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara at this point was assuming that the Oda Cheres is the case of Onus Segiresh, that case that we've been discussing earlier in the Sugya, that got us started on this whole Sugya, Bitlo Vlo Bitlo, that we explained over there that there's a lav of Oyuchal Agarsha, Oyuchal Shalcha, I should say, Koyama, the person is Ma'ani Seyibnar Besula. The Torah warns him he has to marry her and he can't divorce her. And if he should divorce her, so there's a nita glase in the form of the koyamav, koyamav ba'amodach there. And if the person is mevatel the asay in a way that he can't fulfill it anymore, that would be a chance to get malchus for the lav of l'yucha l'shalcha. And the Gemara gave the example, if he makes a neder, al das rabim, where the din is, you can't be matya such a neder. And that would be the other example Rabbi Yochanan had in mind. But the Gemara began to question, is it really true that there are no other examples that you can find Malkis, Amanda, Amar, Bitlo, Velo, Bitlo? After all, what about Gezel? What about Mashkin? And that was yesterday's shiur. We discussed the two examples that the Gemara brought, the Lav of Lo Sigzo, which has a Nita Glasei of Beheshev and Zagzela, the Lav of a person not allowed to trespass to take from the Lover's house assets to be used as a Mashkin, to be collected for the chov, the malva is not allowed to do that, and if he does violate it, there's a nita glase in the form of returning the maskin for the purposes of the lova using it when he needs it, hashev tashiv lo, so you have lo sigzo, nita glase veheshiv, you have the maskin violation, which has the asay of hashev tashiv, so the Gemara went through that. What about that example that you could be mevato the asay and get malchus in the form of burning the chepetz, the thing that you stole, or the mashkin? So the Gemara says the answer of Hassan, that's different, kevin de chayvet hashumin in loke mishalem. We had many different ways to understand what the Gemara's teretz means. What does the Gemara mean to say exactly in saying that chayvet hashumin? Okay, that was yesterday's shir. The Gemara asks further, what about a case of mashkonu shoger, when you burn it and then you have the ger that dies, and then you have nothing that you can pay in the form of money because you don't have to pay anybody then. The Gemara says that's still not a kasha because you are bar tashlumin, the shibud of the ger with the kapaka, the shibud of the ger takes off the obligation to pay. Once again, many different ways to understand what the Gemara means to say. And again, that's itself a sugya in its own right. Okay, so now we have the last leg of the sugya, and this is the kasha the Gemara is now asking from Peya. So now we're going to be introduced to another sugya in Shas, another lav, shenita glase, that the Gemara is suggesting should have the possibility of malchus if you are mevato the asay. What lav, what asay are we discussing? Fact the Gemara. The ha'ika peya. We have the mitzvah peya. The halacha is, the rachmana amar, lo sechale pa'asadcha. The Torah says that when a person is harvesting their field, cutting what they have, the grain in the field, they have to leave the corner of the field as peya. You can't cut that part because that has to be left for the aniyim. So it says in the pasuk, "Rachmanam lo sechala pa'asadcha." That is the lav involved with peya, and the Torah finishes the pasuk with the asay ani v'lager tazov osam. So you have a lav of lo sechala, and you have an asay of lo ani v'lager tazov. And the Gemara is now going to show us that l'chayra you have examples in this situation of a lav shenita glase that could allow for malchus l'mandam kimo v'lo kimo, and also certainly what we want to focus on is bitlo v'lo bitlo, as we're now going to go on and read. But before we do that, let's get a little familiar with the exact example of peya and the psukim the Gemara is referring to, and the nature of why it's called a lapsha nitikase. So let's first start with Rashi. Rashi says, Tazo vosam, vikashavar. So in order to understand the Gemara's kasha, Rashi has to give us some more information. Because remember, we have to be discussing what's called a lapsha nitikase, as opposed to what we had in the beginning of our sugya, that would be called a lapsha kadmo ase. So we have to understand this assay of Rani Bugatazov Osam, the Gemara is assuming, is considered to be assay that the lav of Losachale is nitak to that assay. Says Rashi, Vikasava Tazov Laachar Averas Halav Mashma. The Gemara is assuming that the Tazov that's written at the end of the Pasuk is going on the case that you violated the lav, not talking about the very initial situation that you are now cutting your field. But after you violate the Lo Sechala, there's now a mitzvah of Tazov. Lo Sechala, v'im kilisi ha-tazov osa. So let's just take a look at the Pasuk just to understand what Rashi is saying here. The truth is that this Pasuk appears not once in Chumash, but twice in Chumash, with one little shinoi perhaps, and we'll maybe talk about that as well as we go along. The first time that the Pasuk appears in Parshas Kedoshim, the first Aliyah of Kedoshim, before Sheni, the Pasuk says, Vayikra Yutes Tes. Listen carefully to the language of the Pasuk. Ubekutz Vechem, Eskitzir Arzvechem. When you're cutting the harvest of your field, Lo Sachale, you cannot totally finish up, Pa'asadcha, the corner of your field, Liktzor, to harvest it. The Leket Kitzir Chalosalaki, that's another halach of Leket. That Leket is another one of the Matnasanim, what drops down. And it says, and then it goes on in the next pasuk, and it goes on some other examples of matnasanim. These are all examples of things that are matnasanim. These are certain grapes that are considered to be undeveloped that are to go to the aniyim uferet. Again, one of the matnasanim. Again, something that drops down that goes to the certain types of things from the heart, from the vine that goes to the ani. So it's actually two psukim, one after the other, beginning with the Isser of Lo Sechale of Peya, then it continues with Leket, then it talks about Karmacha Lo Se'olel, Peret Karmacha Lo Se'laket, and then sums it all up, and after these four examples of Isurim, that you're not allowed to do one, another, all these things that the Torah is describing that would be depriving the Aniyim of having that access that you want them to have to these things that are to become theirs. So here the question would have to be, how do you interpret this Lani Vulger Tazav Osam? Does it mean that the Torah means after you violate the Isser? So now there's an assay that states, there's an assay once you violate it, but still, now you have a way to mitaken, a remedy in the form of giving it to the Aniyim, or does it go in the very beginning of the story? In other words, don't do this, rather do that. We had a similar type of a question with regard to which mitzvah that we discussed a few days ago in Shir. How to explain that? Machokes Tanayim, in effect, on that. What was that issue?
Meikara Mashma, or
Right, the Isser of Lo Yisikach Eim Al-Banim Shalich Tesharach Esayin. Does the Torah mean after you violate the Lo Yisikach says them Torah Shalich Tesharach? The Torah means what I want you to do is not rather, I want you to be shaliach tesharach meikar mashma Rabbi Yehuda's shita. So a similar question would be relevant over here. For this gemara to make any sense, we have to obviously assume that this is an example of lav shenita klase, and the gemara is asking Rabbi Yochanan, why are you limiting your examples to two examples of shuach hakein and the example given of ones? What about peya? As the gemara is going to proceed to say, you have examples of getting malchus if you mevato the asay of l'ani v'lager. This is one pasuk. Just to note, there's another pasuk in Chumash, in Parshas Emor, in the Parshas Hamoadim of Shoro Kesev Oev Givoy, that we read on the Megillin. So in the connection to the Yontif of Shavuos, the Torah inserts this Yisr again of Lo Sechale with the mitzvah Lomba Eger Tazav Osam. And this is found in Parshas Emor, Chav Gimel, Chav Beis. So here the Torah has it on one pasuk. The Torah puts, this is like the equivalent of the Pasuk in that we read, the Pasuk Tes, but it brings the Lani Blagir, Tazav Osam, at the end of this Pasuk. It doesn't include here the karma chalosa olel peret karma chalosa lake. So it just talks about the losachal pasatcha and the leket ketsircha, the two things that are mentioned in pasuk test, yud test, and then concludes the pasuk with wani boger taz of osa. But let's look at the language of this pasuk as well. Ubekutzvachem es ketsir artzachem, so far exactly the same words as before. Lo sechale pa'asadacha bekutzvacha. It's interesting. The first pasuk that we quoted says, lo sechale pa'asadacha liktsor. Here it says, lo sechale pa'asadacha bekutzvacha. Okay, let's keep that in the back of your minds. Okay, bekutzvacha, when you're cutting it. Again, the leket ketzircha lo serake, that's the same as the other pasuk, and then it goes right to the aseh, and that's the lo'ani v'lager taz of osam aneshem okechem. So this is the other pasuk. So either way, we have two psukim where you have the isra lo sechale, and both psukim are accompanied by an aseh that speaks to the fact that you're to give these things to the aniyim, lo'ani v'lager taz of osam. So the Gemara is now asking the question that l'chaira, this aseh of taz of osam is obviously in the Gemara's mind an example of an aseh that's speaking about after the violation was committed. That's what Rashi is telling us here. Rashi says that the Gemara assumes that taz of is la'achar averas halav. Now let's fill in the picture a little bit. Rashi doesn't say this, but it's clearly on Rashi's mind because it's far from simple that that is in fact the case. So there's a Mara Malkum which I want to share with you in Yuma Das Lamed Vav. And in that Gemara, Yuma Lamed Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara seems to say that there's a machlokes tanoim, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, on this very question, on whether taz of osam, la'ani boger taz of osam, is going after the fact, in other words, achar averas halav, or it's meikara mashma. It was by Shiluach HaKein, we had a machlokes tanoim, as we had Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Here you have a machlokes tanoim stated in the Gemara, not directly in a Mishnah, but the Gemara is explaining Machlokas in a Braisa, where these Tanayim disagree. It has to do with the examples of a Vidui that was done over a carbon Ola that was brought on Yom Kippur. And the question was, that we know that an Ola is Mechaper and a Lafsha Nitak Laseh. So in one opinion, it states that he includes a Vidui for the Aveira of Avon Leket Shikcha Upeya. That's what Yossi Aglili mentions that as one of the things that the Kohen is misvada on, the Kohen Gadol is misvada on. And then you have the other opinion, Rabbi Akiva, that responds to that saying no, because an Ola is only Mechaper Naseh and Alav Shenitag Laseh. So the Gemara tries to figure out what is the Machlokas based on. So one way the Gemara suggests is the Gemara says toward the top of Lamed Vavon Beis in Yuma, says the Gemara, V'hacha, B'tazov Kamislegi. This is the words of the Gemara. B'tazov Kamislegi. The arguing and how to explain the tazov of the pasuk. Rabbi Akiva Savar, Rabbi Akiva holds, tazov meikara mashma. Tazov means meikara. This is the parallel to Rabbi Yehuda b'Shiluach HaKein. Shaliach t'shach meikara mashma. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Savar, hashta mashma. So it comes out as follows. Rashi explains it a little bit here. Rabbi Akiva Savar, that it's Meikara Mashma, that means as follows. Rabbi Yossi Savar, Hashta Mashma, does the Torah's Tazov go on before, at the time that the Torah is saying, Lo Sechala, rather Tazov, or Hashta Mashma, after you violate it? That's Nitak Laseh. So, Lamaisa, Rabbi Akiva says, Meikara Kodem Lakita Koyaseh, the Lok Yaleh, the love nitaglase, the ain ola ba'ala. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that this is a lav that gets malchus straightforward. Not because you can possibly come up with a case, maybe, of vitlo. It's a straightforward lav shekadmo asay, or that the asay is going not after the lav, it's going to the very beginning. It has nothing to do with the averas halav. It's from the very outset. That's Rabbi Akiva. Obviously, therefore, what we have to suggest, and this is pointed out by Tosus Yeshanim on that Amud Gemara, that this Gemara, obviously, to ask the Kashan Rabbi Yochanan that he should have included this in his list, the Gemara is assuming Kedivre Rabbi Yossi Haglili, that in fact, Hashta Mashma, which is very striking. But Tosus Yeshanim is only on this question. How could the Gemara ask the Kashan Rabbi Yochanan? He says, Sugya de Makos, He says it earlier in the Gemara, but he connects it to what the Gemara says right over here, which is to her very strange, because how can he ask a kashya Rav Yochanan if Rav Yochanan didn't quote this? He quoted one other, and the one other was Ones Segiris. So for all we know, Rav Yochanan holds like Rav Akiva. What's the big deal? How can you make a kashya if there is in fact a machokas tanaim? I don't know. The Gemara must have assumed that the halacha is kedivrei Rav Yossi Aglili, and Peyar is in fact a last in Nitzaglasei, which is in fact how the Rambam paskins. Maybe that the mocker for the Rambam is this Gemara. The fact that the Gemara can ask a kasha on Rav Yochanan from Shita Firsei Glili shows you that Peyar is in fact a last in Nitzaglasei. But at least we have a fuller picture here, that it's not as simple as Rashi makes it. If there really is a machlokas, whether the Tazov is going Meikara like Rabbi Akiva, or the Tazov is going on Hashta Mashma, and that's the premise of our Gemara's questions. So now that we know that, let's figure out what the Gemara is asking as far as the cases that could get Malkus. Really? We have an understanding of Tazov as the Asay speaking after the Lo Sechalu was violated. Says the Gemara that now that we know that, the Mashgachas Law or Umashgachas Law, we can have now find a case, the Kimo Vlo Kimo, you can find Malkus for Kimo Vlo Kimo, that already is simple enough. We simply didn't, you know, we weren't able to do the assay, it didn't do the assay. And bitlo v'lo bitlo, and a bitlo v'lo bitlo. How do you have a case of mashkachas v'lo, kimo v'lo kimo, bitlo v'lo bitlo? It's not. For we have a Mishnah in Peah, it says as follows. Mitzvah's Peah, now we're going to quote ways that the mitzvah can be fulfilled, even if you don't initially do it the way that the Torah would ideally want you to do it, which is while things are still standing, you do not harvest that corner of the field. So it says mitzvah pele hafish min hakama, which is kama means when a standing grain hasn't yet been cut. Uhifish min hakama mafish min haomrin, if you already cut it but it's now being stacked up in the field betalush, having been cut, so you mafish peah at that point. Uhifish min haomrin mafish min hakri, then after you do that you put it into a pile and you can still be mafish then. Ad shalom mirach, until you do miruach, that means, according to Rashi, that you smooth out the pile. Once miruach is done, that's considered the point that's chayv b'maiser, and we know that peyah is part of min ha-maiser. So mercho, once you do miruach, so you can't give it right away to the ani. You don't want him to have to worry about taking off maiser, maiser v'nosin lo. Okay, this is all the shita that is quoted in the Mishnah, that you can be mafish peyah at different points later. We'll soon go into this more carefully in depth to understand what we just read. But just to understand first the focus of the Gemara's kasha, what is the Gemara driving at? That since you have certain points that you can still do it, but then there's going to be a point beyond that that you can't do it anymore. That's what the Gemara seems to ask. So what is the point of the kasha? It's up to Rashi. Mashgachas la bibitlo kigon shetochan esachitim. In other words, what we just took it as far as miruach. So miruach means that you have the grain, it's been already cut, and it's been piled up, and it's been smoothed out, and now what the next thing you would do is to grind it into flour, right? So until you get to that point that you're grinding it, it can still be subject to mitzvah peah, to mafish peah, to give to the aniyim. That's what we're saying so far. But what does it imply now? What's the shita of the Tanakhama that we just read? That once you do the next thing, once you get it into the state that it's ground into flour, and the next step would be after it's flour, what do? You mix it with water, you knead it, and you have dough. And then what happens after you have that? What's the next thing that happens? Is you bake it, right? So obviously, there's going to be different shinuyim that are going to happen. Until now, it hasn't changed form, right? It's just that it was, okay, from being standing grain to being cut, it's not called a shinuy. And then you make a stack, you make a pile, and then you smooth out the pile. It's not yet nishtane. But once you get it to the next level of grinding it, no longer is it in the same form as before. So now, the Gemara's kasha is as follows. He goes, Tachan esachitin, meskachas lo bebitlo, says Rashi, you ground the wheat. Tisu respe lekiu me la'aseh. So now it's not possible anymore to mekayim the asay, so it cannot unbeshinui. Because now, through the shino, you, in a certain sense, you are kona this that belonged to the aniyim. You're kona ibishinui, kidisanya, That we just read, it's only when it's still in the status of chitim, when it becomes kemach, it's not the same. Chitim and kemach are two different things. So once it's tachan and lo, and then just there'll be one more. Rashi, mircho, v'nischai, b'maiser, maiser tchios akri. First you give the maiser from it, v'achkach, no single hapeya, shkul lehaser, sa'ani, sha'alekev, ha'shikach, v'hapeya, p'tur min ha'maiser, v'zer avin l'dechiv. Because you don't deprive the ani of the fact that he wouldn't have had to take maiser, you do that first. But meanwhile, the kasha is that you have the possibility of getting malchus when you take the chitim and make it into what? Into flour. Just interesting. So now let's understand a little bit about what we just read. What exactly is this halacha that you have to give peyah, but if you don't give it in the way that the Torah initially is alluding to, which is not to cut it in it at all, but you did cut, but there's still the mitzvah, right, to give it at a later point. What's the next point? You have omrim. It's already been cut. And then it can go even beyond that. But the Gemara's kashi is, but once you get to kemach, it's already too late. So you're mevatel the assay. So Kiko, that's the kashi of the Gemara. We'll see in the Gemara's teretz in a minute, but that's the kashi of the Gemara. I want to understand a little bit about these halachas that we just read, just to give us a familiarity with the mitzvah peyah and so on. The first thing is interesting. Where do you know that there should be any, who said, I mean, I understand it's not a shinui. I understand it's not a shinui. But what's the pshat exactly that you continue to give peya even afterwards? There's something else also. I want to understand something else at the same time. Let's think about the following. Who owns this grain that you didn't cut? What makes it the Aniyans? Do they own it already? What exactly is the mitzvah peya? What happens, according to the Tanakhama, when you grind it? Another question to think about. Did you grind what belongs to the Aniyan? So why don't you have to pay them? Or if you never made it payah, you never took anything, you didn't do the mitzvah, but you didn't steal anything. It's not theirs yet. It's another question to think about. These are the two things I want to think about. What is this halacha that you continue to have to give it as payah, the mafish payah, we'll call it hafrashas payah right for now, even beyond the initial state of leaving on the field for the aniyim? And what exactly is the status of the mammon of this matnas aniyim if you weren't quote mafish payah? To the extent that at a certain point, when you're kona b'shinui, you don't owe anybody anything. So, a couple of interesting things. First of all, the lashon ha'pasuk itself. I mentioned before that there's a shinui in the two psukim. In Parshas Kedoshim, the language of the Torah was lo sechale pa'as sadecha. What was the next word? Liktzor. Lo sechala pa'asadcha liktzor. To cut. In Parshas Emor, the Torah says, lo sechala pa'asadcha bikutzrecha. I saw a very interesting thing. The Ksavya Kabbalah on Chumash, he brings the Yerushalmi to this effect afterwards, but he says the difference is as follows, that the Russian liktzor sounds like you haven't done the ketzira yet. Lo sechala pa'asadcha liktzor means the idea of leaving the pa'asasadeh uncut for the aniyim. So they come and they do their own ketzira on the pa'asasadeh to take for themselves. That's the liktzor, meaning you haven't done it yet. Now, that's the halacha of leaving peya when it's still in the state of what we call kama. It's still standing grain. But then you have the other pasuk, which is in Emor, which it says, lo sechala pa'asadcha bikutzrecha. So notice how it's interesting. The liktzor means you haven't yet cut it. Bikutzrecha could allude to a fact when you forgot to leave it while it was standing for the aniyim. You already cut the peya as well, and now the Torah says still it should be left for the aniyim meaning to say it's still there on the field, but it's cut, you have to leave it then as well, even once it's been cut. So that's a little bit of a diuk in the pasuk itself, in the two psukim, that allows us to understand that the Torah would still want this mitzvah to continue to exist, even once you cut it. Okay, now this halacha, to give peya, even once it's cut, and even when it's put in a pile, is that the same halacha as giving peya when you never cut it? Lashon HaRambam is interesting. Lashon HaRambam in Perek Aleph of Matnas Aniyim says the Rambam, HaKotzer HaSadeyo, very beginning, Lo Yitzer Ko HaSadeh Kula, don't cut the whole field. Elo Yaniach Koma Ma'at La'aniyim B'Sof HaSadeh. First halacha of Hilchos Matnas Aniyim. You should leave uncut a little bit in the end of the field for the aniyim. Shenema losechala pasadcha b'kutzvecha, he quotes that pasuk. But he's talking about the idea of leaving at the corner of the field uncut. Then the Rambam says, in Halacha Beis, Avar v'kotzar es ko asadeh, o asaf ko peres ha'ilan, lokeach mimashe kotzar v'nosno la'aniyim. I want you to notice an interesting shinoi in the Lashon HaRambam. The first Rambam says that yaniach kama ma'at la'aniyim. The halacha is yaniach. You leave it for the aniyim. When the Rambam continues in Halacha Beis to talk about the case where he violated and he actually cut everything, the Rambam says, then you take what you cut, the nos no la'aniyim. Then the sinaso mitzvah saseh. And the Ram continues with the case of Tachan and Afa, which we'll soon see is Shitas of Yishmael, that allows you to do it even later. That's the next part of the Gemara. But notice how the Rambam has distinguished in his language. Whereas the Rambam initially talks about the halacha as maniach peya, meaning it you leave it there, you never cut it, you didn't touch it. So the halacha there was called to be maniach peya. When the Rambam continues with the case where you violated and cut the whole field, the Rambam says that you are to be giving it la'aniyim. So this is a deal that the Biskarav made in Tmura Daf Vav. The Biskarav wanted to say that there's a difference in the halacha peya when you're not yet cutting the part of the field. There the pshat is not, it's not nesina, it's not a din of nesina to be la'aniyim. The halacha is that they have to take it on their own. You have to leave it for them to take. Masha'enkein, this halacha that you still give peya after you cut it, that's halacha the Rambam describes as a nesina to give it to the aniyim, it's a mitzvah nesina. It's an interesting diuk that he makes. Again, both halachas are described as being mafish peya, like the lashon that we just read in the Braisa, right? Mitzvah peya, lahafish min hakama, lo hifish min hakama, mafish min haomrim. The words of the Braisa are just codes to be mafish peya. But the way the Rambam is setting it up, it's not the same halacha being mafish. The first halacha being mafish to designate is designated for your taking. The other halacha of mafish is designated, meaning that you give it to the aniyim. That's the first interesting deal that the Brisker Rav used to make. It's interesting. Let's go back for a second in terms of the halacha pay itself. Does the peya belong to aniyim if you didn't do what we call a hafrash? What does it mean? What makes it theirs? There is a Rashi. The sugya is relevant for Tzadi Dalid in Bava Kama because of the yisod called Shinui Kona. So the Gemara discusses the halach of Shinui Kona in a lot of different areas, and we'll soon see. We have Rabbi Yishmael coming up in the Gemara that says that even after you grind it and make it into dough, you still have to give peya. So the Gemara tries to associate that shita of Rabbi Yishmael with the Manda Omer that Shinui is not Kona. Shinui remains as if it were before. Then the Gemara is Docha that Raya. We'll soon get to that in a minute. In the Gemara's discussion, so Rashi sheds light a little bit on the shita of the Tanakama, who holds that once it gets changed in its form, so then you don't have the mitzvah anymore to give peya. So Rashi says, what's the pshat? According to the Tanakama, once you grind it, you don't have to give it anymore to the aniyim. Why not? So Rashi says as follows, there at Tzadi Dalet in Bava Kama. He says, The evil is Dibra Maschel Af Mafish Min Ha'isa, which is Rabbi Yishmael's Shita coming up in the Gemara. So Rashi says, the evil Tanakama Min Ha'isa Lo. Once you get the dough, once you grind the chitim into flour, you're not going to have to give any payah. The Kanye Bishinui, says Rashi, Vahabi Mamon She'en Lo Tovin. It's money belonging to the aniyim, but there's no one single ani that can make the claim against you. Because until now, it wasn't yet a shinoi. Until now, disha is not called a shinoi. It's still a food like before. Once it gets changed from that to flour, to dough, then it's no longer what it was before. So now you don't have to pay any aniyim anymore. Why? Because it's mamon she'en lo tovin. From the Lashon of Rashi, it would seem that lemaisa, this belongs to the aniyim, the mitzius of the fact that it is payah. So the fact that you went ahead and cut it and you smoothed out the pile and you ground it into flour, you made a dough, that's not going to take away the fact that it belongs to the aniyim. Elamai, it belongs to the aniyim, but you don't have to give anybody this payah because there's nobody that can say you owe me. Mamon she'en lo tovin means there's no one single person. Maybe there could be a class action suit, you know, of all the aniyim that says that, you know, there's money that belongs to us by you. I don't know what that means. But mamon she'en lo tovin means that you can't have anybody come and make the claim against you. From Rashi, it's mevuar that there is a status here of mamon aniyim. Now, one could ask the following question. The Gemara is asking the kasha here that once you grind it into flour, it's called bitlo. It's no longer a mitzvah anymore. Therefore, you should get malchus. B'chayra, if it belongs to the aniyim, it's just that you don't have a right, you don't have to give it to anybody because there's no one person that can make the claim against you. Is there not a mitzvah, latzeis yidei shamayim, to give it to some money? I mean, a person is mazik matnas kahuna. That's also called mamon she'en lo tovin. But b'chayra, there's a mitzvah, latzeis yidei shamayim. You should still give the Kohanim. You owe it to Shevet HaKohuna. So if there's still a mitzvah Shevet Shemayim, why should we call this bitlo? Maybe you could argue that since there's still an obligation, a moral obligation, to pay the aniyim, somebody, because l'maisa it belongs to the aniyim. So your gozel the aniyim, there's no toveya, there's no one single toveya. So why is the Gemara assuming, according to this, that it's going to be a case of bitlo? I think the Achronim asked this kasha, and I think what Mestama you have to assume is, in a chinami you have a chiv latzis yidei shamayim, but if there is no, you could say maybe one of two ways, but let's just say one way now, if it's no legal obligation b'dinei adam, that does not mean it's not bitlo. Bitlo it is. The mitzvah does not, if you don't have a mitzvah b'dinei adam to give it, that's already called bitlo. There's no longer a tazov that you have obligated in. You l'maisa latzis shamayim and a separate cheshbin. But that would be maybe that would be according to Rashi. However, this is not so simple. This assumption that Rashi seems to be giving us that it belongs to the aniyim, and even after the shinui, you don't have to pay anyone because there's no toveya. From the Rambam would be mashma otherwise. From the Rambam, it would be mashma that if you're not mafish peya, it doesn't yet belong to the aniyim. Lashana Rambam in Perek Beis. Of Matnas Aniyim, Halacha Yud Dalet, Beis Yud Dalet. The Rambam says, the Ein La'aniyim Ba Ad Klum Ad Shiafishena Balabayas Midaito. The Aniyim don't have anything in this Peah until the Balabayas is Mafishit Midaito, until he does Afrasha. L'fichach, Ani Sheroa Peah Besof Sadeh, there has to be a balabais has to be mafishit as peya. It has to be yafishena midaito in order for it to belong to the ani. So for the Rambam, it seems he would argue on Rashi. For the Rambam, if he wasn't mafish the peya, it's not the pshat that it belongs to the aniim, but technically he doesn't have to pay because there's nobody that can make the claim. The Rambam is mashma that there is no there's no bailus of the aniyim until the afrasos peya. You did an avera by not being mafish peya, but it doesn't belong to the aniyim until the afrasos. That's what you see in the Rambam. It's an interesting question. What does it mean to be mafish peya? This is a shaila that Achronim raised. I found this in the Torah Zroyim, the famous sefer that Rav Tamaranchik, he's a Talmud of the Briska Rav, he wrote a couple of svarim of the same genre called Emek Bracha was one of them. Emek Bracha is on inyanim of different inyanim, mostly Orachayim. Then you have Torah Zroyim is on Seder Zroyim. His other svarim as well. So he has on different mesechtos in Zroyim, in Seder Zroyim, he has the following shaila on this Rambam. He says, my shaila is as follows. What does it mean that you have to be mafish it, and then the aniyim own it? Does that mean that you need a kriyas shem, just like by truma for maisvus? Right? We know you have to be mafish truma. Harei zeh truma. Your maf is a kriyas shem that makes it halos truma. So maybe peya is something similar. What makes it maman aniyim is the formal hafrasha b'peh. It's a hafrasha b'peh of peya. Or there's no halacha of kriyas shem. What the Rambam means really is that you're leaving it for the aniyim l'shem peya. The fact that there's a demonstration, let's talk about now the case that's uncut. We'll have to think about the case when it's cut, whether anything changes. The fact that you leave it in the field and you didn't cut it and it was l'shem peya, that is hafrashas peya. The chalos peya that makes it, according to the Rambam, that makes it matnas aniyim is the aziva to the aniyim. That's the whole halacha. There's no din of being mafrish peya or kriyas shem. It's the very fact that you left it as peya. He has a couple of interesting nafkaminas from this. A couple of nafkaminas. When it comes to Afrasas Truma, we know that even if the Bailam doesn't do it, the Bailam can make a Shriach to be Mafish Truma on his behalf. Kein Tarimu Gam Atem L'Rabos Shiluchachem. So if he makes a Shriach to be Mafish Peya for him, then it's Chal, the Afrasa. That makes sense if it's a din of Kriyas Shem. But if the whole halacha of Peya, of making it Peya, and according to the Rambam, that's when it becomes Mammon of the Aniyim, is the aziva to the aniyim, not an actual kriyas shem, then you can't talk about shlichus. Just like you can't have a shliach for hefker. There's a ran in psachim like that. You can't have shlichus. That's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina. When you mafish truma, you make a bracha. Just like if you mafish chala, even today, when people are mafish chala, hafish chala mina isa, there's a bracha that's made on the hafrasha. Would you make a bracha on hafrasha's peya? If it's a loch of kriyas shem, so then there's a maisa mitzvah with a bracha. But if the whole aloch of making it peya is the aziva to the aniyim, there's no maisa mitzvah. It's not a formal maisa mitzvah. L'chari, there would not be a bracha. It's a sheva al tasa. The fact that you left it for the aniyim, so that would be its mitzvah. There would be no bracha. Another nafkamina. A katan that's already at the level of that he could make nedarim. He's close to bar mitzvah. He's at the level of Mufa Samach Le'ish, the din is Nidro Neder. So would a katan be able to be Kore Shem on Peya? If it's a din of Kriyas Shem, it should be the same as Truma Samaisris. Then he could also do it. A katan Samach to be being a Gadol. If it's only a Ziva L'aniyim, he's still a Maisa katan. A katan can't do it. Only Neder and Hegdish he can do. So the Shaila is this Halach of Neder and Hegdish? In the back of the Sefer, he has a Ha'ara from the Sugya in the Darim, the beginning of Nidarim, that has a shayla if you can be mafish peya with a short type of a language, a yad. If you don't say the full language, hareza peya. So you see from that gemara l'chari that there's a halacha of a dibur by peya. That would sound like there is a notion of kriyas shem. At least it could also be kriyas shem. So you have to know it's an interesting issue. He quotes from the Abu Dram at the very end of this piece, it's page Lamed in his sefer, that why don't you make a bracha on Aziva Sekhet Shekhul Peya, because Ein Behem Maisa. Sounds like the Abu Dram understood that the Mitzvah Hafrasha is just the Aziva itself. But I was thinking, in light of the Briska Rav that we spoke at before, the Briska Rav was Medayik and the Rambam, that the Lashon here throughout the Brice is Mafish. Mafish min Akoma, Mafish min Omrim, but the Rambam was Mashma that it's a different halacha of Hafrasha. When you don't cut the corner of the field, it's leaving it for the Aniyim. You left it, so that's obviously without a maisa. But when you cut it, and any time you're giving pay after that, the Rambam says it's a mitzvah nesina. So now there is a sort of a maisa, you could argue. So then you'd have to think about these issues. Does it change the nature of the mitzvah when you're doing it later? Because then it becomes a mitzvah nesina. The tazo becomes a nesina. I believe that the Abudram there says that you don't make a bracha when you're mafish after you violated it, because it's a mitzvah hababa avera. Sounds like there it would be a maisa, but it's a different reason. So it could be it's mashma that it's a different halacha. It's not the same halacha of tazov as before. There's halacha of tazov initially, which is the aziva makes it peya. And then there's the other halacha that there's an asina. There's a formal, maybe I don't call kriya shame exactly, but it's a different idea maybe. I don't know. But either way, this is an interesting discussion, again, from the Biskarav, and then what exactly happens when it becomes Matnas Aniyim, and what exactly is the halacha of being mafrish peya? What is exactly does it mean? Is it the same halacha as a Tumas Umaisis or not? Okay, so now we have this halacha here that you can be mafrish at different points. You can be mafrish initially, and that's the way it's supposed to be, that you, so to speak, you leave it for the Aniyim, you don't cut it. And then you have this other level that comes later. If you did cut it, you still have to give it to Aniyim later. One last interesting topic of the Torah's Royim, just on this point itself. Interesting halacha. If I ask you the following both sides, today, have you ever heard of anyone giving pay in Eretz Yisrael? You tell me. Has anyone ever heard you in Eretz Yisrael more recently than I was? Has anyone ever heard of such a thing? Why not? People have fields, no? People work the fields. I mean, there's halachas of shvius, this man is there. People are makbe. What about payah? Why not? So there's another Rambam that probably is the marker for this. The Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Yud that says as follows. Nemar b'matnas aniyim l'ani v'lager tazavosam. Kos man she'aniyim tovin osan. The only time there's a mitzvah to leave for the aniyim is where the aniyim are coming to be toveya. Pasku ha'aniyim milavakeis v'lachzer aleyim. If the aniyim have stopped circling around to get their matnas aniyim, to get their payah, harei hanishar mehen mutar l'chaladim. Whatever's left is mutar for everybody, and everybody includes, of course, the owner of the field. She'ein gufan kadosh ketrumos. There's no halach of kedusha on the payah like truma. Ve'ein ochayev b'tein lehen d'meyen. You don't have to give the aniyim the money. El shalom nemar behem b'nasan l'aniyim. El tazav osam. The Eno Mitsuve Lazov Osan Lachayola Ofos Elaniyim Bare Enaniyim. I mean, there's no halacha that you're mechuyev to leave it, that you're not allowed to have it for yourself, that you're supposed to mechuyev to leave it for the animals, for the beasts, for the birds. It's for the aniyim. If there's no aniyim, there's no halacha of tazok for the aniyim. If there's no aniyim, they're coming to make claim on it. So I believe that Achronim say, Pasa Shulchan, Talmud of the Gra, maybe says it others, that the reason why we don't have hear people today being mafish payas because it's the equivalent of the aniyim are not coming around being toveya. And the whole halacha of leaving it for the aniyim is to the extent that there are aniyim coming around by the fields, like by Rus and so on, when they're coming to collect it, then you have to leave it for them. But to the extent that there are no aniyim, you're not mechuyev to leave it for hefker, for the animals, for the birds. So this is the halacha in the Rambam. This is a halacha that's quoted also in the sugya in Elam Mitzvahs, but Yerushalom Midas, when the Aniyim were Miyayish, so the Gemara brings, what about Aniyim in the other locations? The idea of the Aniyim are Miyayish from getting the payah, then it's basically available for everybody to go take it, including, of course, the Bailun himself. That's the din. So now, the interesting question is as follows. This is also by the Torah's Roin. He says as follows. Based on this Rambam, so he has a suffix, let's say at the time of the Ketzira, so what did you have to do? At the time of the Ketzira, your halacha was not to cut the corner of the field and leave it for the aniyim. Let's say at that point in time, there were no aniyim that were circulating. There were no aniyim being toveya the peya. There's no one looking to get peya. So what did you do? You cut everything, right? Then you get to the piles and you smooth the pile. Now, suddenly, aniyim emerge. Now, aniyim come forward. Now, there are aniyim. So now, do we say that the halacha to give peya at the next stage, at the stage of after minhag kamet, it's already been cut. So that's an independent halacha. And if the aniyim are ready to be tovea, they're peya at that point. So then you have to give peya to the aniyim at that point. The halacha is independent of these four. Or does the halacha to give peya from the after the fact that you cut it, and now it's already cut, and it's into piles, is all a derivative of the original shas hachiyuv of when it was kama, when it was in the field. And once you say that at that point there was not chal hachiyuv peya, because the aniyim were not tovea at that point, so you're not mechuyev to leave it for the bats, for the birds, and so on, so then already, even if the aniyim suddenly show up later on, you're still not mechuyev to give it. That's a shaila that he has, an interesting shaila of the Torah Zrayim, on the page right before, on Amud Chof Tes, on the bottom of the page. That's his suffix. So this is all a little bit of a geshmaka taste on these various examples that we have in the Tana Kama. Again, what it says, in the what the Gemara quotes is, the Iker Halacha is Lahasfish Min HaKama, Lo Hifrish Min HaKama, Mafish Min HaOmrim, Lo Hifrish Min HaOmrim, Mafish Min HaKri Ad Shalomerach. So we understand that this Mafish might mean different things at the different stages. We talked about the question whether it's considered formally Matnas Aniyim before your Mafish Peya. We talked about what Mafish Peya actually means. And we talked about the relationship between the mitzvah hafrashas peya at the stage of din hakama and the mitzvah hafrashas peya that might be defined in terms of nisina, which is once you cut it. But the bottom line is, this shita is clear. Once it becomes ground and becomes dough, then no longer is a mitzvah of nisina, because of the shinoi that occurred. And therefore, once the shini occurs, you're not mechuyev to give peya anymore. So here you have an example, a bitlo. What's the bitlo? When you now ground the tzvua, so now you may be a dayim, impossible to ever mekayim the mitzvah anymore, lefi this shita. That's where we're holding in the Gemara's kasha. You are mefato the mitzvah in a way that you, by grounding the tzvua. Could the Gemara not have thought of another example of bitlo? Besides this particular example of the Shita of the Tana Kama here, could the Gemara not have come up with another example?
Burn it?
What if he took the Chitim, it's still Chitim, and he burnt it? Right? The Ritva points this out. Let's say he took the Chitim, like we had before about burning the Mashkin. So he took the Chitim that you're supposed to leave for the Aniyim, and he burnt it. So he made it impossible to give to the Aniyim. That's what the Ritva points out. A simple example of being the vato, the essay of Tazavosa. So the Ritva says, in a chinami, the Gemara could have said that too. But the Gemara wants to just give you this extra chidush, that even by making it kemach, by grinding it, and as we'll see with Rabbi Yishmael, when you eat it, that also is an example that the essay disappears because of the kinyan of shinui, as he says for the chachamim. So the Gemara wants you to have that extra idea that there's an example of bitlo that you might not have realized, that lemaisa, if you do a shinoi to it, like the Chachamim said, and you made it into flour, that would also be a way that you're putter from the essay. So the Gemara brought that case, because meanwhile we end up learning a little more. The other case doesn't give us any chidush. We just know, obviously, you can burn the chitim and you'll be putter. But the Gemara wanted us to have this information. That's what the Ritva says. Okay, so what do we do? We have another example of bitlo, right? So the Gemara says, but wait, what you just said is one shita, that's the Tana Kama. But apparently, Rabbi Yochanan, we could go like Rabbi Yishmael. Kid Rabbi Yishmael, says the Gemara, the Amar af mafvish min ha'isa. So now we get another level, another shita here on this. Rabbi Yishmael says that even after you grind the tzvua, totally transformed, and now he took it a step further, he made it into dough, he kneaded it with water, now you've yet to give this any payah to the aniyim, so you give it min ha'isa. So obviously you have not been mevatel the assay, even after grinding it, you can even give it min ha'isa. Interesting, that's the shita Rabbi Yishmael. What's the pshat in Rabbi Yishmael? What happened to the svara that we said before, for the chachamim, that once it gets changed, as Rashi points out, Kanaan b'shinui. Rashi gave us the understanding for the Chacham Kanaan b'shinui. So here Rashi is silent. Rashi doesn't give us the understanding from Yishmael. That's the sugya of a Kama Tzadi Zalat Amid Aleph. So the Gemara has two ways to understand Pshan Rabbi Yishmael. First, the Gemara wants to list Rabbi Yishmael as one of those Tanayim. The Gemara says, I have all these Tanayim that are all of the same opinion that line up in the form of holding Shinui is not Kona. That's what the Gemara initially wants to say. There's a whole list of people who hold Shinui is not Kona, and one of them is Rabbi Yishmael. Because Rabbi Yishmael holds that you can even be mafish min ha'isa. So then the Gemara, so that would be one way to understand Rabbi Yishmael. He doesn't accept this ha'ilach of Shinui Kona. That's what's matra from the... That would be the one way to understand Rabbi Yishmael. But then the Gemara is doche and says, maybe it's not a raya. The Gemara says, maybe the pshat is different. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yishmael ha'sam elu inyan peya b'shem d'chsiv tazov yaseira. Tazov yaseira. What does it mean, tazov yaseira? So everyone should know. How many times does the Torah say the mitzvah of tazov osam in Chumash? Twice, right? You have the pasuk of Tazov Osam in Parshas Kedoshim next to the Lo Sechala over there, and you have again Tazov Osam in Parshas Emor next to the Lo Sechala over there. So since Tazov Yisera, the Torah is trying to teach us that there's a mitzvah of giving the aniyim, even if it was Nishtana. Even if it was Nishtana. Tazov Yisera. Rashi says, Tazov Yisera, Bikdoshim, meaning Rashi and Bava Kama, Bikdoshim, Tiyuk, Siv, Lo Sechala, Pasat, Chalikzor, Ubesharo Kesev Ksiv in Pashas Emor Lo Sechal Pasat Chabikotzvecha Trei Kroi Tazov Osalamali Shmamina Lasuye Shinui Delo Kani Hacha. Generally, Shinui is Kone, but here the Torah is Machadish to us that Shinui is not Kone, that it stays in the state of before. We imagine it was still like before; it has not been changed, and you still have to give it to the Aniyim even afterwards. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael. Either Shinui ain't a Kone in general, or specifically over here because of Xeris HaKasuv of Tazov Yisera. That's the Pshan Rabbi Yishmael. It's interesting. Rabbi Yishmael talked about what case? Even Min Ha'isa. Seemingly, when did the Shinoi occur, Rabbi Yishmael? What made it a Shinoi? When you ground the Tzvua. So what should Rabbi Yishmael have said? What? As Af Mafish Min Ha'wat. What do you call it before Isa? What would you call it? Flower, right? As mafish min ha?
Chita.
Min ha kemach. No, in other words, chita is before grounding. It becomes from kemach, chita becomes kemach, and from kemach it becomes isa. So why did Rabbi Yishmael talk about isa? I mean, the shinoi is already happening when it's changed from chitim into kemach, right? Tachanon made it into Kemach. So it's interesting that the Rambam takes it even further than that. The Rambam, when he brings Rabbi Yishmael and he paskins like Rabbi Yishmael, perhaps the Rambam got a mocker from our Gemara paskin like Rabbi Yishmael, because after all, how do you know who to paskin like? Because our Gemara is mefalpo according to Rabbi Yishmael. So the Rambam, when he brings a halacha that if you're not mafish from the Kama, then you're mafish from... After that, the Rambam says, "Va'afilu tochan hakemach." This is all halacha base. The losho, ve'afahu pas. Hareza nosin peya min hapas la'aniyim. It's interesting. You really have three stages that you can call shinoi. You have the shinoi initially of chitim into kemach. At that point, the Tanakhama would already say you're putter from giving peya. Rabbi Yishmael would say that you're chayiv because of either the extra tazov or shinui is not kona. Then you have from kemach to isa in the form of kneading it as dough, and now you have the baking of the dough. And the Rambam gives you everything. Our Gemara talks about the middle point. Yeah, it's interesting. I found in the Radvaz. I mean, why did Rabbi Yishmael say isa? So maybe we would argue as follows. Rabbi Yishmael said, Isa to tell me a chidush, that not only is it chayiv at the point of kemach, where it was just a shinui to kemach, but But even if you took the kemach and took and made another level of shino, you made it now into isa, you still chayev to give it. So Rabbi Shmuel picks the chiddush of isa. No, so let Rabbi Shmuel say even a bigger chiddush. Let him say even if you baked it, why does everything isa? You could say min ha'afui. The Rambam gave the chiddush of a foul pass. The Radvaz on the Rambam says Rabbeinu. He brings the Gemara of Rabbi Shmuel afash min ha'isa. And it's learned out of Taz of Yisera, says the Radvaz on the Rambam, Rabbeinu Hosif Va'afo Pas. The Kevan Dichsiv Taz of Yisera, Lomar de Lokani Le Beshinui. That's what the Taz of is teaching us. Mali Chad Shinui, Mali Tre Shinui. Hilkach Afilu No Shin Lomina Pas. He says, once you have the Taz of Yisera, that Shinui is not going to change anything, so I don't care how many Shinui you're going to bring. What do I care one? What do I care two? Really, I would say, if I were to put the words, you know, down, I would say Mali two or three, because you're already talking about Isa. Okay, but the point is that once you have already a halach of Tazov, it doesn't matter if it's soulless, if it's Isa, if it's even afui, if it's baked. But it's still interesting that the Rambam went ahead and said even off a pass, and the Rabbi Shmuel picked Isa. So at this point, the Gemara thinks that, okay, so everything is all good and well, right? At this point, we have an answer. Rabbi Shmuel Shita would mean that you have not found a case of bitlo, because even after you would grind it into flour, make it into dough, and as we see in the Rambam, even if you baked it, it would still be chayiv and peyah. So you have not successfully been mevatel the essay of Tazo. Says the Gemara, I'm still not happy. Says the Gemara, no. Back to Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel Nami, Mashgachas La, the Ochal Isa. What if you ate the dough? Again, eating the dough can also mean eating the baked thing. I mean, Isa mean once it's dough, you ate it. You can eat dough. Some people like dough, but it could be mean once it's Isa, but you can eat it. You can eat it now. It's going to be baked. It's going to eat once it's Isa. Then you'll eat it at some point after that. So now you're mevato the mitzvah in a way that's irreversible. So seemingly we have an example even for Rabbi Shmuel a bit. Again, the Rambam Paschkes Dark Rabbi Shmuel says the Aruch HaNer, maybe because of our Gemara, that the Gemara is working within Rabbi Shmuel, and the Gemara goes to Achal. The Gemara doesn't say Afa, meaning to say that Rabbi Shmuel apparently would go as far as Afa, and Achal is the last point that you would not be able to mekayim the essay once you eat it. So because of this, Ella, the Gemara has a total chazara from what we were thinking until now, from the beginning of Shir. Ella, this concludes our little mini excursion into Peah. We know a little bit about Peah that we didn't know before, but because of this, the second example of Rabbi Yochanan becomes Peah. We're going to substitute Peah for what we thought was the second example. Ella, what Rabbi Yochanan said, Anu en Ranu Ella, quote, Zos v'od acheres aha. If Yochanan had in mind, Peah, when you eat after you did all this and you ate it, now it's bitlo. What about, we said there's only one other. What about Onus? We thought that was part of the list. Abu Onus lo. So now we have to reverse course. Before we thought that the neder that he made, not that she's also by not, he can't take her back, that would be an example of bitlo. Says the Gemara, not true. Question? Abu Onus lo. Why? We talked about that you can't be made for a neder al das rabim. Mar says it's not necessarily true. There's an exception. The heicham rinon al das rabim engo afara. When do we say al das rabim engo afara l'dvar harishus? Only for something which is not a mitzvah. Then there's no option of hataras nedarim. Abu l'dvar mitzvah yeshu afara. For dvar mitzvah, you can be matir or neder even al das rabim. And the Gemara brings an example of this. There was a teacher of children, Davi Pasha Biyanuki, was negligent with children. What was he doing exactly? The Gemara doesn't say. Rashi says, Davi Pasha Biyanuki, Make Osam Yosemidai. He was hitting them too much. Apparently, a little bit was considered the norm, but overdoing it was a problem. That's how Rashi went. The Ritva has other pshatim. He says he wasn't teaching well, they were goofing off. He wasn't doing his job. So what happened because of that? So Adrei Rav Acha created a situation of a neder. Adre Ravacha Shelo Yilmad Otinokos. What does that mean exactly? How could Ravacha make a neder for somebody else? The different ways to say it. The Ritva has a gear, so this is the way it is in Gittin also. The Gemara is in Gittin, the same piece of Gemara about the Mikri Dardiki. So the Ritva's gear was that what he did was he was Adre Rav Acha Avos Hatinokos Mishum Davi Pasha Beinuki. In other words, he had them, the parents, be madir that they shouldn't get hanah from him. So it was really not him, it was the parents. Okay. So that's what he did. And now, after that, Ravina, when was matir that neder? The Ahadri Ravina. Ravina put him back in his job, meaning by being matir neder. Rashi says, Rashi doesn't say, but it means he was matir the neder. There was takach l'day kavaste. Apparently, there was no one better. So Mistami, he did tshuva, I guess, you know, for whatever he was doing wrong. And meanwhile, he was the best at it, and they put him back in his job. So what do you see? It was Advan Mitzvah. So what's the Gemara driving at? As Rashi says before, Lidvar Mitzvah Kigon Hacha. So too, over here, back by Onis Shigiresh, the Ko Yama Ba'amodach Zerkoi. So since there's a Lacha of Amodach Zer, so even if he made a neder not to take her back, he has to take her back, Yeshko Hafara, so you can be Matir Neder to take her back. This brings back, of course, the Ramban's question on Rashi Amid Aleph. Why did he make a neder, Rashi says? Because she matzah ba'avon, you can't talk about a mitzvah to take her back if you're not allowed to take her back because if she was mizana on him. So how could it be on the one hand a divine mitzvah to take her back if what prompted the neder was the fact that she was not faithful, she cheated on him and so on? What would be the pshat? Because Ramban gave the whole mahalach, as we spoke out on Amid Aleph, that the case was that initially he brought Adim. Adim came that said that she did an avera, she was mizana. So then he made the neder. So at that point they didn't want to accept. They assumed at this point that the neder is not to be undone. So they're ready to give him malchus. And now it turns out that the Adim that came turned out to be lying. There's hakhashu hazama. Now that we know the truth is not what the Adim said, now it's possible to be matir the neder. That's how the Ramban learns it out. Okay, the MS is this. We did the sugya of Peir here. In these couple lines of Gemara, we could have really had a whole other sugya to discuss. There had to be another time. The sugya of Al Das Rabin, we really didn't learn it well. Just we read it pashut in the Gemara, but there's a lot of shitas here. And the Ritva is Mayrech and the Ramban is Mayrech. It's more in Gittin than over here. There's a shitas Rabbeinu Tam that talks about that only if you have a tos of some kind, like over here. There's all kinds of shittas and Shulchan Aruch about the neder al das rabim yesh lafar en lafar. So that already, we just to be aware that there's a whole sugya. The Iri here is Mayrech on this also. I just want to end with the Rambam. I'll just tell you as follows. The Rambam, in terms of the Rambam in Peah, we saw a number of Rambams. We saw the Rambam in Hilchas Gezeilah yesterday. Just to be aware of the Rambam in Hilchas Mashkin, in Hilchas Malva Velove, which is very difficult, again, not to deal with it now, but just to be aware of the difficult Rambam. Paragimo Halacha Dalit. So the Rambam says that if the person Tishkad Losavo Abeso and takes a mashkin forcibly from the Love, Eino Loke, the Rambam says, Shari Nitat Lasei of Hashev Tashiv. The Rambam says, and if he's not Mikayim the Asei, for example, if the mashkin gets lost or burnt, the Rambam tells lo kimo is already enough, so it gets burnt by itself, then lo ke, he'll get malchus, u'mechashev d'mei mashkin leba'olav, and he calculates the value of the mashkin, and it goes toward the payment, and he's tovea the rest. But the Rambam says he'll get malchus. So first of all, there's a ravitz hasaga here. What happened to the fact that it's nischai b'achrayis, it's a nitan l'tashlumin? So how could you get Malkus in this case? What happened to the rule of Nitan L'Tashlumin that the Ram himself accepted by Gzeila? So there's a Magid Mishnah on this. What happened to that idea? There's another Kasha in the Rambam that the Chinuch asked. The Sefer Chinuch quotes this Rambam in Mitzvah Kaf Kuf Pei Hei, which is the Isser not to take forcibly a mashkin from the house of the Loveh. And he brings this Rambam that says that he'll get Malkus in the case where the mashkin gets lost or burnt, because he can't attack in the lav anymore. He asks, the Chinuch asks, but to me, ani, achas ezem mamon hu, In other words, since the mashkin has a value, and that value gets deducted from the claim, so that itself is a tashlumin, so that should pater from the malchus as well. Because the fact that he's getting paid for his chov through the mashkin's value should also pater him from malchus. So there's a lot of issues here in this Rambam. And mamish final, the final thing I'll just say at the end of this man, because we are thinking already of Psachim. So I'm going to tell you over Chazon Ish's Kasha that will segue from Bitlo Bo Bitlo into Masechet Psachim. The Chazon Ish in Hilchos Pesach Siman Kuf Yud Ches Os Zayin has the following Kasha on our Gemara. The Gemara ends up saying there's only two examples that you can have Malkus of Bitlo Bo Bitlo. The case of Shuach HaKain, where you killed the mother, and the case of Peya, when you ended up eating the dough or what was baked, and you never gave payah. Says the Chazon Ish, I don't understand, I have another example. How about this? Chameis bePesach. I have a case of bitlo velo bitlo. They should get malchus. How so? Chameis bePesach. Bal Yiroi is an Aveira. That's Nita Grase. What's the assay? What's the mitzvah assay connected to Bal Yiroi? The Torah says, not to own chametz. What should you do to your chametz?
Beer.
Be your chametz. What's the mitzvah? Be your chametz. What is it lying? Which words are the chametz?
Tashbisu.
Tashbisu. So we have a machlokes to knowing what tashbisu means. Again, Rabbi says this old gerusha is warmed up of tzachin. So does tashbisu mean sreifa? That's a Yehuda shita. And be your chametz al sreifa. Does it mean mefarvez al ruach? You crumble it up and throw it to the wind. Machokes Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. So he says as follows, the Chazon Ish. Let's say you take chametz, hard chametz, and instead of crumbling it, you throw it away without doing the biur in the way the Chacham required, which is to be mefarer. So you didn't do the piur, you just got rid of it without piur. Or for Rabbi Yehuda, who says you have to burn it, so what, let's say you didn't burn it, you just took it and crumbled it and threw it out to the wind. So in either case, you now made it impossible to mekayim tashbisu in the way that's supposed to be fulfilled. For Rabbi Yehuda, tashbisu requires reifa. For the Chachamim, requires to be mefarer b'sar l'ruach, and all you did was you threw it into the yamsuf without crumbling, you didn't do the pure, you just threw it into the yamsuf without anything. So then, l'chayra, you mevato b'yadayim the tashbisu. But what? That's his kasha. So l'chayra, I have a case of getting malchus because you have bal yiroi without a kiyum mitzvah tashbisu. So the Chazon Ish says as follows to answer. V'nira, he says that the asay of tashbisu has two aspects to it, two mitzvahs to it. One is to be mostly the chametz mirishus, that you shouldn't be owning the chametz, it shouldn't be bal yiroi. From that perspective, if you put it into the water without pure, if you cover it up with a mound of stones, whatever it is, that's a kiyum of tashbisu on that level, that it's no longer by your right. There's another halacha of biur to destroy the Yisur HaNah from the world. That's where the machokis exists, Acham and Rabbi Yehuda. Whether you have to burn it, or you have to mefarvez al ruach. But as far as the tikkun halav is concerned, as far as tikkun halav is concerned, it's enough that you motzi it from your rishus in a way that it won't be bal yiroi. So even though tashbisu has another dimension for the formal biur with the halach of sveifa for Rabbi Yehuda and the farvaz al ruach for the chachamim, but in terms of the being a nitag lase, all you need to be happening for the nitag lase is that it should be a situation that you did something that you took away the bal yiroi. And therefore, once you did that, it's not by Yerua, you already have the kiyum of the Nita Glase. This is the Chazon Ish. Rashmu Rezavsky is mefalpa here. He's not sure that this is necessarily should be the case, that you're taking away the Bal Yerua from the Mikano Lahaba should be considered a tikkun of the past. He thinks that L'chaira, from that perspective, you haven't really done a tikkun. So he's mefalpa with this Chazon Ish. But I couldn't resist, having learned this sugya well and leaving us, thinking about Psachim, so this is a little bit of thought, because a lot of the sugyas that we've seen about Nita Glase will come up a lot again and again with regard to Bal Yiroi and Psachim, so at least we have this little Ha'ar of the Chazon Ish to think about. Rabosai, I want to thank everybody for a wonderful Zman. It won't go away. We'll stay for a few more minutes. But meanwhile, just yashar koach to everybody, and I wish everyone a wonderful summer and much hatzlacha over the coming weeks.